Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's new UFC main event between Johnny Walker and Jamal Hill. So I'm excited for this one for a few different reasons. First of all, I don't expect either of them to grapple a great deal. It wouldn't surprise me if we see Johnny Walker throwing a bit of grappling. Now he's been training SBG Island for a while. I think he might have settled into a more consistent game, but we'll talk about that in a little while. Jamal Hill, I've been impressed with him in every one of his fights. I think his striking is very sharp. I think he's very certain of who he is as a fighter and what he's good at. And that's very useful against someone like Johnny Walker, who is very unpredictable. A bit less unpredictable now. He seems to have calmed down a lot more under the influence of John Kavanagh, which I think is good for him. But at the same time, you know, that flair and that chaos in his game is something that made him so dangerous in the early days. Let's have a quick look at the tail of the tape. So Johnny Walker with a considerable amount more experience, 18-6 for Johnny Walker, 9-1 with one no contest for Jamal Hill. Average fight time, much of a muchness really, obviously, because Johnny Walker's been in the UFC for a bit longer, but his average fight time probably was pushed up after that last 25-minute fight against Thiago Santos. As I said, slightly higher for him. Height and reach falls in Johnny Walker's favor. So 2 inches in height and 3 inches in reach. Of course, it could be a big key in this fight because both of these guys are strikers. Although what I will say is when we've seen Jamal Hill fight people who are shorter than him, he uses his reach very well. When we've seen him fight people who are of a similar height or slightly bigger, say OSP, for example, he closes their range down and he's very good at close range as well. So that it might be an advantage for Johnny Walker, but it might also just influence the game of Jamal Hill, and that might actually favor him. Southpaw v. Orthodox, of course, Johnny Walker does switch. Jamal Hill does prefer to be southpaw majority of the time. We do see him switch occasionally, but he was switching in the OSP fight more because of OSP being southpaw, and it was kind of, I think DC picked up on it in the commentary. It seemed less familiar to him to be in the same stance as his opponent. So we saw him switch a few times, but predominantly a southpaw, very dangerous as a southpaw, has this kind of long wandering lead hand, and then everything is set up with the straight to the body and the body and head kick. And something else that Jamal does really well is mix up his body and head attacks. You know, back to his contenders fight against Popek, he was able to smash the body with the kick, and then that sets up other options as well. You know, we saw him do the same thing against OSP. We saw him strike into the body with straight punches. Very, very effective with his boxing and with his kicking game, but he also mixes them very well and mixes his targets very well. One of the reasons why I've been so impressed with him. With Johnny Walker, there's like I said, there's a lot of chaos and a lot of flair to his game. Spinning attacks, flying knees, a lot of wild things. But if we actually look at what he's kind of settled on in his last couple of fights, he's got very good kicks. He's got very good front kicks to the body, very good low kicks, and that hop side kick that John Jones used so well. Johnny Walker's also got a long reach, so he is able to catch people with kind of long swiping hooks and stuff. But he doesn't seem as comfortable in the boxing range as Jamal Hill does. One thing I will say, Hill is a little bit kind of chin in the air when he's punching. Sometimes he steps into range and he lands good punches and he's very fast, but his chin tends to come up and he tends to punch from his shoulders. And against someone like Johnny Walker, who has a lot of chaotic, spinning attacks and stuff that he can fall back upon, especially when he's under pressure, they could be a problem for him. Striking output, strikes landed per minute is much higher for Jamal Hill. He does have a higher striking output. He does like to get into people's faces and really use good Muay Thai. You know, as I said, long leading hand to kind of test his opponent. Everything's from that left side, the left hand and the left kick, but he also does close into range and use really good Muay Thai knees as well. Again, that we saw in his contender series fight. Sometimes he does leave himself overextended, and we do see him, pay for that. He does get taken down a couple of times against Stosic, but I was impressed with him scrambling back to his feet, especially given the fact that Darko is such a compact, powerful fighter. It was almost like he didn't even want to bother trying to waste the energy to hold him down. So I do think that this is going to be a predominantly a striking affair. I think it might be smart for Johnny Walker to clinch Jamal Hill and try and take him down a bit. I do think he's going to be the physically stronger, more imposing fighter. I mean, not only is he the bigger fighter height and reach wise, but he's also, you know, he's also physically more conditioned. You know, you could say Jamal Hill could probably gain maybe 5 or 6 pounds of muscle and probably lose the same equivalent of body fat, and that would make him more effective, at doing what he already does well. Johnny Walker's so dangerous and so explosive, and he is a huge individual as well. A very big human being, you know, the kind of size that you would think that it would feel like to face John Jones. You know, long arms, long legs, switches stance and moves through and cuts range down very well. It might be worth Jamal Hill moving him into close range and force him into a boxing range where he looks most uncomfortable. And that's where Johnny Walker can maybe use some grappling to negate that range. 100% takedown accuracy for Johnny Walker. Of course, he's not taking people down very often. They've both got around 60% takedown offense, slightly higher for Johnny Walker. But again, I don't expect a great deal of grappling unless Johnny Walker sees it as an advantage to kind of slow the fight down there. He does get hurt. This is something that we've seen a few times in his fight. You know, if you think back to the Ryan Spann fight, although he ended up winning that, and debatable where some of those hammer fists landed. The elbow that finished it was absolutely a legal shot right to the temple, and it was beautiful. But a lot of those hammer fists, probably 8 or 10 of them, landed on the back of the head. If I was Ryan Spann's corner, I would have been protesting. Well, I mean, he was, but I would have probably appealed to the commission as well. But this is the thing with Johnny Walker. You can't leave any gaps, any moments where you take your eye off the ball and he might just catch you with something that you're not expecting. And he can end a fight very, very quickly. So the more recent Santos, since we've seen him at SBG, he seems to be, and I would say this for his last fight in particular against Santos, especially because we got 25 minutes to see it. He did lose the decision, but it was a good performance by him. There were a lot of improvements, from his last fight. The Ryan Spann fight was still, he was still kind of reckless. He was wild. You know, as I was saying, he went crashing in on the Ryan Spann fight and got caught with a big shot, which could have been the end of the fight. It was, you know, he was able to turn it around with those hammer fists and elbows. But, you know, Thiago, he didn't take nearly as many risks. And I think that that's partly because John Cavan has probably started to tighten up his game quite a lot. I think him training at SBG Island will have certainly fine-tuned him into a more strategic approach to fights. And I think we saw that against Thiago Santos. You know, you heard John Cavan in the corner telling him to watch out for the left leg. Every time Santos switches to southpaw, which will be a good thing to prepare him for this fight against Jamal Hill, because of course Jamal Hill's got excellent kicks, but he is in southpaw all the time. So Santos was kind of giving it away because he was orthodox most of the time, and then he'd switch to southpaw and throw his left leg. So there was kind of an obvious tell there, but he was still able to land it a few times. And I do think that the mixed attack of Jamal Hill, straight punches to body kicks to head kicks and you know, everything in between, as well as a heavy low kick attack, could be a real useful thing for him against Johnny Walker, and something that might be able to close him into range and start to stifle some of those explosive attacks that Johnny Walker's known for. He used a lot of good feints against Santos as well, and that might be something that he can throw into this fight with Jamal Hill. As I said, you know, Jamal Hill, he's got quite a wily Thai boxing style, but he walks into range quite long. And when he does close that range down, he's looking to counter his opponents. He's looking to use a lot of check hooks and counters. So by Johnny Walker constantly being difficult to read, and, you know, you've always got in the back of your mind, Johnny Walker, you know, you see those highlight reel, you know, flying knee knockouts and the spinning back fist against Ledet and stuff. And you, every time you see him twitch, you know, you might kind of subconsciously play one of those clips, and it does make fighters hesitant. Now, I do think Jamal Hill's very confident in his ability to walk people down and his ability to defend and, you know, and ride a lot of shots. But he has to also give the same kind of respect to Johnny Walker as he would anybody else, especially someone that's so, you know, big and explosive. It would be smart for Jamal Hill to fight out of a good defense in this one. But I think if Johnny Walker starts to get backed up, he'll be able to use those feints to keep creating some space for him. You know, even, like I said, even though he lost the Thiago Santos fight, it was a good performance from him. and it was something that you can clearly see he's going to build upon. That's why it wouldn't surprise me if we see him start to clinch Jamal Hill and take him down, or maybe a level change under his boxing combinations, just because I would expect his game to be developing all the time at SBG. The deterrent of Jamal Hill moving forward, something else that Johnny Walker can use against him, is that oblique kick that John Jones has made so famous. He used it really well against Santos. He also was really stepping through and smashing the inside lead leg, all of which will, you know, it will upset that forward movement of Jamal Hill, because he does stand in quite a long stance. You know, he's not necessarily going to be in a good place to check or counter those low kicks. So if Johnny Walker, as an orthodox fighter, is smashing that inside lead leg, it will eventually allow him to start pushing Jamal Hill back a bit, because that will start to become quite painful. He'll start to be able to use that inside low kick as a feint and then set up other things from it. The one thing that Johnny Walker's got to be aware of, got to be careful of, and something that we see him, you know, we've seen him pay for him in previous fights. Sometimes he's paid for it and lost the fight. Sometimes he's managed to recover. But often he gets overzealous, overconfident, and he goes kind of charging in with his chin in the air, and he gets clipped, and then he's on, you know, he looks like one of those inflatable arm flailing tube men. You know, his arms are going everywhere and stuff, and he just looks, it's not a good look for him. You know, especially if you're the judges, even if he makes it to the end of the round, you're marking that as a 10-8. And that would give me a lot of confidence if I was Jamal Hill. If I clipped him and saw him rocked and wobbled, or even if he's charging to me, I would feel like maybe I could catch him and counter him on the way in and use his momentum against him. A more disciplined approach from Johnny Walker would definitely be a very smart thing, especially because he's got a very slick striker in front of him who will be able to break him down over 25 minutes. It's all about strategy for Johnny Walker, and I think he's got the right person in his corner with John Kavanagh. But I am very impressed with Jamal Hill. Even if he might not be able to get the win over Johnny Walker, it might be a little bit too much for him at this stage in his career. He's definitely got a bright future. You know, he's got a lot of room to develop. No submissions on his record so far. All TKO stoppages, all of his wins. 5 out of 9 finishes. And you could probably count that one against Clinton Abreu as well, depending on what your opinions on the testing is. But nevertheless, every time I've seen him out there, he's been impressive. And he fought through that horrendous arm injury against Paul Craig as well. He was not quitting. I think this one's going to be an absolute banger. I think it's going to fulfill that main event spot perfectly, and it will give us something else to look forward to next week in the Fiziev against RDA fight, which is also going to be a banger. And I'll look forward to breaking that one down as well. Anyway, enjoy this light heavyweight clash. It's going to be a good one, and I'll see you next time.